This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the silly old permission to get in that mothership?
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. So just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Thanks for being with us, everybody. DA with you here on a happy Thursday. Coming up in about 20 minutes from now, we are stunned to unnews. Plus, in 40 minutes, this date in mothership history. Coming up also later on in the show, we're back to Major League Fishing because even when sports had shut down, MLF, MILF, kept going. We'll talk to Ott Defoe from Major League Fishing coming up here on the show a little bit later on. And your Madness of March segment, our memories of the NCAA tournament with Matt Doherty, member of that 82 UNC Tar Heels team led by James Worthy, Sam Perkins, and Michael Jordan. MJ with his first iconic big shot moment. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. That's toll free. You could also connect with us via Twitter. That's DA on CBS. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have moved on from Jameis Winston. Despite leading the league in passing yards last year, with 5,100 yards, despite having more than 30 touchdowns thrown, Jameis Winston is out of a job right now. But think about this. In a quarterback desperate league, in a quarterback necessary league, the guy that led the league in passing last year doesn't have a job. And if you want to know why, look no further than the team that he was just on. Remember when he was asked postseason, after the season had wrapped up, Bruce Arians was asked, can you win with another quarterback? And he said, can we win with another quarterback? Look at what we did with this one. That was your first inclination that Bruce Arians wasn't thrilled with his current QB. Now, Jameis Winston led the league in passing last year and is only 26 years old and doesn't have a job. So let's go through some of the quotes from Bruce Arians about Jameis Winston. Okay? On the Rich Eisen show, it sounded like Bruce Arians was trying to say Winston would be a great addition, but he ended up saying, yeah, we didn't want him. I called a couple of teams and told them, you're going to get one of the hardest workers you've ever had and a great young man. It didn't work out for us only because Tom Brady was available. And we had Teddy Bridgewater if that hadn't worked out. We were going full steam back with Jameis. He's a great young man and nobody's going to outwork him. End of quote. Okay, this is the first part. You can't say we love Jameis. I'm telling teams to sign Jameis and then say, yeah, but he was our third option. And that was only if the first two collapsed on us. We wanted Brady, then we would have had Bridgewater, and then we would have ended up taking back Jameis Winston. Not exactly a ringing endorsement. Arians would go on to say what bothered him or made him unsure of bringing back Jameis. I think it was the regression in the last two games of the year. You don't throw for 5,130 touchdowns and not have any talent. Those numbers are amazing. But those turnovers in December made us wonder if there's something better behind door number two. Okay, so Bruce Arians is saying, hard worker, he was our third option. His numbers are amazing, but in December, he lost us. He couldn't get what we were teaching even by December. We gave him the entire season, and he was still making dopey mistakes. Okay, again, not exactly a ringing endorsement. And then Bruce Arians tops himself by on ESPN's NFL Live saying, we have some weapons. We've been a pretty good offensive football team. We needed to have a leader. And that's what excited me most. Having a leader come in here who the guys know is a winner and has done it, and they'll follow him. End of quote. Remember, last week, upon the news of Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay, we had Buccaneers corner MJ Stewart here on the show. And MJ Stewart said, we need Tom Brady because he'll come in and change the culture. He'll give us what we haven't had. He'll give us something we've been lacking. And then I followed up on that with MJ, and MJ said, well, you know, Jameis Winston was great. We love him, but, you know, there's a lot of championships with Tom Brady and his resume. MJ Stewart said on this show that they needed somebody to change the culture, which tells you Jameis wasn't that guy. And here's Bruce Arians saying we needed a leader. And which is interesting, right? Because if you go back to his Florida State days, Jameis Winston winning a national championship, the one thing you could say was, well, the guy leads. Players like playing with him. Players like playing for him. Jameis has a charisma. And I think if you really look through this and pick it apart a little bit, the Jameis Winston, this is ultimately the knock on Jameis. Does he have some talent? Sure. Threw for more than 5,000 yards. But Jameis Winston is not a guy that players or coaches trust. Now, I don't know if this really goes back to his decision-making in college where he did a lot of stupid things. For the most part, has not done stupid things like that in his NFL career. Mostly his stupid decision-making has been on the football field. But Jameis Winston's kind of big kid persona, I think, shines through right here with what we're talking about. Bruce Arians saying, we need a leader. MJ Stewart saying, we needed to change the culture. These are knocks against Jameis Winston. When you think about Jameis Winston saying, let's eat a W, and licking his fingers in the huddle, it tells you a lot. When Jameis Winston is getting into shoving matches on the field to where his teammates have to jump in, it tells you a lot. When he's sticking his fingers in the air in a huddle and making a W and saying, let's eat a W, and licking his fingers like they were short end ribs, it tells you all you need to know. That the Buccaneers, fine and good, but they were willing to go with Teddy Bridgewater and pay him a lot of money. They were more than willing to give Tom Brady a lot of money because they didn't have that guy on the roster. Mraz, I don't know if this was Bruce Arians trying to take a shot at Jameis Winston and couldn't help himself, or trying to give him compliments but is just too brutally honest. I'm not sure about it.
It reminds me of the old, Bilotti's going to hate this, the Seinfeld episode where the couple goes to adopt the kid and they put Elaine down as a reference. And Elaine basically says the husband has anger problems and everything else. I don't know whether Bruce Arians just in his heart maybe felt like Jameis Winston was infuriating the coach. So he doesn't want to just blatantly say don't sign him, but he's going to take his own passive aggressive way where teams are going to know what he means. But look, Bruce Arians' words hold weight. And any GM, scout, coach worth his salt who hears Bruce Arians say the way he's saying things about Jameis Winston, why on earth would you sign him based on everything you knew without ever meeting Jameis Winston, right? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Totally. What he's saying is Jameis still made the same mistakes at the end of the year, so we bailed on him. He's saying that we would have rather overpaid Teddy Bridgewater. We would have rather overpaid Tom Brady. And at the end of it, he's not a leader. I don't know how many times Bruce Arians thinks he's complimenting Jameis Winston, but on all the things that you would care about Jameis, I guess the one thing he said was he's a hard worker. Aside from that, everything else is all of the things that would make you run for the hills on Jameis. And isn't it really glaring that Jameis does not have a job right now?
Yes. Yes. Of course it's glaring. This is a guy who was Heisman Trophy winner, first round pick, obviously right, first pick right out of the top of the draft. Yeah. You would think somewhere, somehow, somebody would sign him right now. Now, I wonder how much of that is people are a little unsure the Jameis Winston character. They want to bring him into the building and talk to him. And obviously, for those reasons, we can't see him face to face right now. But you would think, worst case, you have a mediocre quarterback job. Like, where is John Elway basically will sign anybody to play quarterback? Where is he picking up Jameis Winston to even work with Drew Locke? I mean, you would think Jameis somehow, some way has a job. And also, on that note, I think the biggest indictment is that Bruce Arians would rather have Teddy Bridgewater than Jameis Winston. Whether Bridgewater's a hard worker or not, the jury is still out on whether what Teddy Bridgewater can do. And Bruce Arians fancies himself on having an offense where he can go down the field, and that's never been Teddy Bridgewater's strength. So if he would rather have Teddy Bridgewater openly admit that over Jameis Winston, I think that's a bigger damning indictment on Jameis and the talent he even has.
I would agree, and I think this is kind of key in the Jameis Winston story. If Jameis is seen as a guy that keeps making the same mistakes and isn't a leader, perhaps also not very mature in terms of you trust him, he's going to lend some advice or experience, then he's a bad backup. You know, your backup quarterbacks need to be the guys that are trustworthy, that are responsible, that are highly coachable.
Marcus Mariota. Look
at Marcus Mariota. In a pinch. Absolutely. And the fact that Mariota got a contract and Jameis doesn't kind of suggests that all of the things that you think about Jameis are true, because from sheer talent, unless he's holding out for a starting job. But even, I mean, look at the Kyle Allen thing, is that they're saying, okay, he can compete for a starting job. That's all that, you know, some of these guys want, just the idea that you can compete. The fact that Jameis does not have a job right now suggests that they don't trust him to be a backup quarterback because of his personality. It's not his talent. I mean, he's 26 years old and just threw for 5,000 yards. It's that his personality, they don't trust to be put your head down, don't need attention, and be the guy that's really disciplined and hardworking. So I think that says a lot about Jameis.
Yeah, would you be a young would you want your young quarterback coming off the sideline and the guy you have to lean on with the baseball cap is Jameis Winston telling you what he saw from the defense and being mature about it? I would not. It's crazy talk.
Licking his fingers, saying let's eat a W.
And you're right about that. I know it's a funny moment and we've had fun and we've had the drops on the show. How can any NFL player, I mean, you saw the way DeSean Jackson looked at him. How could you be an NFL player? You've worked hard at your craft your whole life. You make the NFL. You know the quarterback's the biggest position, and your quarterback sits there before a game, and instead of just firing you up the way Drew Brees fires up the Saints, this man is sticking his fingers more than a knuckle deep in his mouth and crookedly taking them out to try to form a W. And how you'd be distracted the entire game. I would have been distracted the whole season. 10 weeks after that, I would still be looking in the tight end room going, can you believe Jameis stuck his fingers in his mouth? Do you think he washed them after that? It would bother me to no end. That's not a leader. You can't stick your fingers in your mouth and be a leader.
And let's think about all of the great leaders at quarterback in NFL history, okay? Let's think about Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Drew Brees. I think right now Russell Wilson. Let's think about Brett Favre. I mean, these are the guys that people really will follow. Okay, we believe in you. We'll follow you. Can you imagine any of them forming a W with their fingers and then licking them in between? Let's eat a W. And starting to lick their fingers in the huddle with like that weird, I'm trying to get the last bit of teriyaki sauce off of this wing.
No, they would never even do that with a bag of cheddar Chex Mix like I do on the couch, just making sure you clean all the cheese dust off. These are things you, if you're a father, you teach your kid in the first year, second year, don't do that with your fingers in your mouth. Don't do that with the fingers in your mouth. And this is a guy I'm going to trust to lead me to the Super Bowl and sticking his fingers out there and then making goofy things? He's the kid at lunchtime or recess in third grade that your parents are like, you don't hang out with this kid. There's something off with him. And he's going to be the face of your franchise? No way. Let alone a backup quarterback.
You might say, well, those guys that you mentioned, DA, they're older, they're more mature. Okay, let's go to a different guy, Deshaun Watson. He has won a national championship. Right now he's in the NFL, and he's trying to lead that Texans team to the next level. Deshaun Watson, everybody loves and follows. Could you ever imagine Deshaun Watson making his fingers into a W and saying, let's eat this W, and starting to lick all of his fingers, put his hands in his mouth, and then started to lick in between the fingers.
I can assure you that to start the fourth quarter of the wild card game versus the Bills, if Deshaun Watson had licked his fingers and stuck them so far in his mouth that he came out, made a crooked W, and told everybody, we're going to eat this W, that Josh Allen and the Bills would be playing on divisional weekend. No doubt in my mind.
Bruce Arians trying to be nice. It throws Jameis Winston right under the bus. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. We have a web poll out. Mraz was railing on the idea that Major League Baseball would potentially play its season deep into the fall, maybe even around Thanksgiving. He thinks that it needs to be wrapped up earlier than that. And then tried to beat his chest about being the resident meteorologist here on the DA show. And so our DA show poll today, would you trust Mraz for the weather? Yes, he's locked in, or no, he's too focused on food. You can vote on the Twitter web poll at CBS Sports Radio. You can also vote on Facebook, facebook.com/the DA show. When we come back, we are stunned to a news. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Surge Protector, you're about to be zapped.
DA, what's up, brother? How you feeling? I love listening to your show, man. I listen to you every day. I can't wait for it, and I hate when it ends. Your gimmicks are the best gimmicks. Want to say I appreciate you guys, and have a good day.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
We know that you want to see college basketball this time of year, so tune into CBS and the CBS Sports Network all week long for the NCAA Tournament Rewind and relive some of the best moments from March Madness. Speaking of reliving the best moments, we have done a Madness of March segment each day throughout the last couple of weeks. We'll continue throughout this month. And coming up next hour, 1 hour from now, Matt Doherty's going to join us. He was a member of that UNC team in 1982 that won Dean Smith's first national championship. UNC with Michael Jordan knocking down that huge jumper over Georgetown survived the Hoyas. We'll talk to Matt Doherty about it coming up here next hour on the show. Also, a reminder that if you miss anything or want to hear it again, you can in podcast form. The DA show's full 4 hours are available in podcast form. Also, the best of the show is in a condensed version as well every single day. And the PGP, the Permission Granted Podcast. We got a lot of audio content for you these days when you're probably bored to tears and you want something that'll take your mind off of the news events of the day. And so our podcast is a good place to be. Go to Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify or radio.com or anywhere else that podcasts are available. And you can download us and listen to us there. We were talking about Bruce Arians and his backhanded compliments of Jameis Winston, saying he's got a lot of talent, he's a hard worker, but he was like our third option, and he didn't change his habits by the end of the season, and we had to bring a winner in here and change the culture. All of that suggests that whatever Bruce Arians says about Jameis Winston comes with the postscript. We're not that interested in him. And this is a guy that threw 5,000 yards for them last season and is only 26 years old. On the phones, Eric is standing by. He's in Richmond, Virginia, here on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, good morning. Just a couple of comments. A little disappointed about the amount of time that you guys spent on him putting his fingers in his mouth. What he wants in terms of that style of offense and throwing 5,000 yards. When you take that many chances, you're going to have mistakes. The other point is I think he'd be very humble as a backup quarterback and a leader getting another job and another opportunity. It's just like life. You wait for the best opportunity. Could he have gone somewhere already? I absolutely believe it. However, you got to wait for the best opportunity. All the starting jobs are gone anyway. Your comment.
Well, I appreciate the phone call. I mean, the thing is when you say, well, if you take that many chances, you're going to throw a lot of interceptions, that's not necessarily true because when you throw 30 interceptions, you've thrown more INTs than almost anybody in NFL history. So there's been plenty of guys that have thrown 5,000 yards. There's been Drew Brees a number of times, Peyton Manning a number of times, Matthew Stafford's done it, also Tom Brady's done it. Dan Marino's done it. Nobody's ever thrown 30 interceptions with it. So you can't just say, well, he's taken a lot of chances. You're going to throw a lot of INTs. He was the worst at throwing interceptions, essentially in NFL history. Now, I would also say that for Jameis, does he want a shot to compete? That's my guess. Most guys do. But I don't know if that situation exists. So he might be waiting and wanting for it. That might be best case scenario. But Jameis might just have to wait until the training camp season and see if there's an injury. I mean, because right now, it's not like guys didn't get signed as backups. Marcus Mariota just got signed as a backup. Brian Hoyer got signed in New England as a guy that said, hey, I might be a backup, but I just want a chance to compete for the starting job. Then the same thing with Kyle Allen in Washington. So those are at least three situations. That's 10% of the league that brought in somebody else to be the backup or to compete for the job. And remember, there's still Cam Newton and Andy Dalton. This is a bad year for Jameis Winston to need a job because a lot of teams are already set. They don't trust him as a backup. And there's veteran quarterbacks that are more decorated than he is and more respected than he is that are also on the open market. Let's face it, Andy Dalton and Cam Newton are going to get jobs likely, certainly Andy Dalton, before Jameis Winston does. And if you're Cam, okay, your foot's a problem, your health is in question, but if your health checks out, every team is going to take Cam over Jameis Winston, I would think. Standing by with our headlines this morning is Andrew Bogus. You can dial us up at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227 or on Twitter, DA on CBS. He's a kind sir. He has our headlines. Good morning, Andrew.
DA, good morning. Those headlines are sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. As we mentioned yesterday, NFL GMs want the draft delayed. Many say they can't do their normal prep work right now because prospects can't take physicals or come in for visits. But for now, the league says the draft starts as planned April 23rd. LSU wideout Justin Jefferson doesn't care when he gets picked.
It doesn't really matter. Whatever date they set for the draft, I'm fine with. So, that's their decision.
Jefferson hung out with our boys Tiki and Tierney yesterday. He is a borderline first-round pick right now. He was pretty good with Joe Burrow last season. 111 catches, 1,540 yards, and 18 scores. As for current NFL receivers, Washington signs veteran Cody Latimer, who spent the last two seasons with the Giants. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys apparently talking contract again, their first conversation since Dak got the exclusive franchise tag. They have until July 15th to reach a long-term deal, or Prescott plays under the franchise tag. NFL records reportedly show Dak having a $26 million cap hold at the moment. The Athletic reporting that an independent doctor found an issue with Michael Brocker's ankle, slightly jeopardizing the D lineman's 3-year, $30 million agreement with the Ravens. They should still join forces, but maybe part of that deal has to change. This is one of the complications of the sports shutdown we've been discussing. The Ravens can't have their doctors check out Brockers for a final decision on all of this.
And this is now, the issue with Cam Newton as well, is that Cam Newton obviously would have a lot more interest if teams could actually get to him, test him with their medical teams, and get some type of feel on him. But without that, everybody is totally gun-shy and scared about signing him and giving him any type of money.
Yeah, and I guess he went through some kind of check Monday in Atlanta on his own. So there's, I'm assuming there are x-rays and scans and reports that other teams can see. But you're right, not be able to get your actual doctor's hands on Cam. And which is we thought was going to be an issue for Todd Gurley, but apparently not. But for sure, teams have to be hesitant because you're giving him money no matter what, and you can't bring him in if he's still damaged goods.
And he's not prepared to play for a couple of months. He might check out medically, but the idea all along is he won't actually be ready to play football until much later in the summer. So you can go through your medicals now or take his medicals that he has gotten done by an independent medical observer, what have you, but what type of medicals do you really care about until he's supposed to be ready to play? So that's why Cam's in really a no-win situation right now. He's just got to kind of wait this thing out.
Now, D.A., a wise man once said,
you just never opt for the dick.
But L.A. Ram fans are opting for Eric Dickerson in their fight against their team's new logos. The backlash has been strong to Monday's reveal. Dickerson tweeting yesterday, he shares fans' dislike for said new Rams logos. So Dickerson has volunteered to take these complaints to the team.
Good.
And don't forget, he works for the Rams. He is technically their VP of business affairs.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, now this is a nice gesture, but what do they think is going to happen? The Rams are not going to not use these logos that they spent a lot of money on and a lot of research somehow landing on them, but still, they're not going to just go, you know what, guys, you're right, we messed up, here are our new logos. These are the logos.
Number one, do we imagine Eric Dickerson's going into the office every day in a suit and a briefcase as the VP of business affairs? I mean, I don't know what that title suggests, but my guess is that Eric Dickerson is more in some type of kind of like nominal role where he's in a Rams ambassador instead of VP of business affairs. Number two, if you're the VP of business affairs, you actually probably have a voice within the organization and don't need to take Twitter polls of fans about which logo do you like better? I'll go tell my bosses this. No, that's not usually how that works. This is what is also striking to me. The logo, as you said, is the logo. They've just spent years developing this logo. They've just spent millions of dollars, I'm sure, on companies, on tastemakers, on consultants. They've gotten to the point where they're comfortable unveiling this. Eric Dickerson doesn't go to them with he's using a design a fan made up and saying,
yes,
you guys should switch to this. You guys should definitely go. They're not suddenly going to backtrack and be like, oh, you know what? That fan did a good job. Let's do that. They're not going to do that. Also, even though it was underwhelming, I didn't think it was offensive. Don't you think this is a little bit of a crazy outcry that last week's logo was fine, but it wasn't enough to where you would launch a campaign and need Eric Dickerson to take the new logo to the team? That seemed like an overreaction.
Yeah, and again, I'm with you on the larger point of if he works for the Rams, he either was part of these conversations or he shouldn't be publicly agreeing with people that his employer did a bad job getting to these logos. I mean, imagine if one of us was like complaining about something that CBS Sports Radio or Entercom decided and go, you know what, guys, you listeners are right. I'll be right back. I'm going to go talk to our bosses. I'll see you tomorrow on the air. That would never happen. So This is all nice and well and good, but nothing is going to change because of this.
I can't imagine, and it's really funny that Eric Dickerson's title is VP of Business Affairs. If he is a VP, he should have input in the logo like 3 years ago.
MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred told ESPN last night he is hoping to start making plans for starting their season in May. The league and union reportedly targeting June for actual games. But again, this is all wishful thinking right now. Manfred knows playing a full season is near impossible, so he promises they'll be creative to play as many games as possible. Now, Mets writing Noah Syndergaard scheduled for Tommy John surgery today in Florida. But questions still remain about whether he should have this surgery. Non-essential operations not allowed in Florida right now, so some are wondering how the Mets are getting around this.
Yeah.
The New York Post has a doctor who has not treated Syndergaard, saying that torn UCLs can lead to nerve damage, which would make surgery essential, but those are very rare cases, and there's no way to know if that's an actual concern here with Syndergaard. So yeah, this is, and obviously, you know, the Mets and him want this done ASAP so he gets back on the field as soon as possible next year. But obviously, there are much bigger things going on right now. And as far as we know, it's going to happen today. And I don't know if they're skirting rules, if, you know, and you can take this any way you want.
This
but
begs
it's
a really
not the greatest
interesting,
of looks.
It begs an interesting question. In the middle of coronavirus, is Dr. James Andrews not supposed to do surgery on elbows and knees and shoulders? Is Dr. James Andrews supposed to be available to treat those with coronavirus? Because that's kind of what we're saying. Non-essential surgery should be put on hold. But does he have a role in the medical community outside of doing a shoulder and an elbow?
It's not about Andrews. I think it's about his use of supplies. That's it.
Right.
Gloves, everything else. So it's not that he can't perform surgery. It's that if you're going to take your supplies to perform surgery, you need to be donating those supplies to these high-risk areas.
Okay.
Well,
it's not
James Andrews in this situation. It's Dr. David Olchek, and he might be flying from New York to Florida to do this. And if you're flying out of New York going to Florida, Florida wants you to be in 14 days of isolation. So now we're talking about a guy, is he flying to Florida with more coronavirus? And then you throw in the more important situation of they're using supplies and machines like ventilators that
gotcha.
Maybe should be somewhere else. So yes, this is very, very complicated. And again,
okay, that's really
it's just amazing the Mets are involved in this at all when there's no baseball.
Yeah, that's really interesting. That makes a lot of sense because when we think about these Tommy Johns, it doesn't feel like a real surgery, right? It just feels like guys going in for a tune-up. It's like you go to Dr. James Andrews and he snips your shoulder, he does something on your elbow, he reattaches a ligament, and then boom, you're done. You're in and out in like 45 minutes and you're
And it's
you're
in his building, I believe. Like that's the only thing that happens in his building is his
right.
work. He's not
right.
in a regular hospital using an OR.
That's exactly right. It does not feel like these guys are laid out on a gurney that have to take, you know, any type of space away from the regular person. That's just not the way that I envision it. But it does make sense to say, hey, all of the medical supplies, they cannot be being used by anything besides these really urgent cases. So it's fascinating, and it's also such a pure Mets thing. In the middle of nothing going on, one of their best players need Tommy John and can't have it done because of everything going on. It is the most Mets story of all time.
The NHL is rescheduling and reformatting its draft schedule for late June in Montreal. If things go well, they'll be playing hockey games in late June, so teams can't be drafting too. And the NHL providing some good news today. Dallas Stars president Jim Leitz and GM Jim Nill voluntarily taking a 50% pay cut so lower employees can keep their full pay for now. And we finish this hour with some stunned news from Canada.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
We have spent a lot of time south of our New York City studios, oftentimes in Florida. We've mixed in some Louisiana, some Southwest recently as well. I don't know that we've gone this far north yet in Stunned to a News, but here we are in the Toronto area recently. Of all the things going on these days, we don't need anything else to freak us out. But residents of this town outside of Toronto noticed that their local creek was running blood red the other day. We all have the pictures in front of us. We can all agree that this is like legit blood colored, not like pink
it's
food
terrifying.
Coloring. This looks like a river of blood rolling through this town.
Horrible.
So as the world seems to be crumbling around us, I mean, you're thinking that this could be anything, right? Apparently, it is just an accident, thankfully. 400 liters, and that's L-I-T-R-E-S.
Uh-huh.
I don't know that we can yet really translate jocolones into the Canadian measuring system.
We need to.
But 400 liters of red ink was accidentally spilled into this creek to make this blood river. So it looked terrible. It would have scared the life out of me, but apparently it was absolutely nothing.
By the way, none of this is good because you're like, oh, thank goodness it's only red ink, it's not blood. Yeah, but none of the wildlife that lives in that river is like, cool, now all of this ink is in our river enough to dye it red. And as you just mentioned, like with everything else going on, do we need another thing that reminds us of mortality and death at this point? I mean, 2020 has just been the Grim Reaper chasing us from January 1st on. Every single day is another reminder of death. Everything. And now there's rivers, blood red, just coursing through Ontario. I mean, when will this end?
We need to take the 2020 cartridge out, blow in it, put it in, and hit restart. I mean, this is ridiculous. Also, how is any teacher now going to grade papers in the Toronto area? Because apparently all the red ink is ended up now in this river.
It is just a glitch. 2020 is one big glitch. We need to get out of this glitch immediately.
You know, at this point, going through everything we have, we're dealing with now, if I'm walking along the creek with my kids looking for a nice breath of fresh air and I see the red river, I'm just diving in and going, enough's enough. I'm out. Kids, walk home to mom. I'll see you later.
Now, this does remind me of how Chicago has the Chicago River coming through downtown Chicago, dyed green for St. Paddy's Day. And that's very celebratory. So it's like, oh, cool, green, St. Paddy's Day. When it's red, it's the exact opposite reaction. You do not see this to be, oh, this is very celebratory. This is fun. This is interesting. No, it feels like the elevators in The Shining. It just feels like there's just buckets of blood rushing down this river.
Now, is this what they do for Oklahoma and Texas?
Yeah. Yeah, they dye the river red for the Red River Shootout. Yeah.
Why not?
An ink spill. By the way, and also, how does this happen? Is there just a truck full of red ink that hits a tree on the side of the road? The back of it opens up and all of the red ink just falls over the bridge and into the water? I mean, what is this, a Daffy Duck cartoon?
The biggest pen explosion ever.
There is a creek in Toronto, near Toronto, that is just blood red. It is such a rich red, too. It's terrifying. And now, how would you even know if there's blood in the water from, like, fish dying or from deer dying or from a person dying? You would have no idea.
Yeah, and in our current state, environmental poisoning is good news, which is a great real sign of what's happening right now.
Oh, thank goodness there's only 7,000 fish that died here. It's not some type of blood rushing down the river from human beings. Okay, good enough. Thank you very much, Andrew. When we come back here on the show, this date in mothership history. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This year like last year, the best is right here on CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks for being with us on a fine Thursday this morning, everybody. On the phone, it's 855-212-4227. That's sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote. Geico.com. Easy. Hit us up on YouTube as well to watch the best of video clips every single day. You can watch us by simply searching CBS Sports Radio on YouTube, and you'll see the best of clips every day, the best takes, opinions, and interviews, as well as classic moments from the show. Binge watch the DA show on YouTube. It is time now for this date in Mothership history.
Come one, come all, step inside. It's this date in Mothership history.
Let's go back to our overnight days. This is from March the 26th, 2014. So 6 years ago, we were still doing overnight at that point in time. And there was a Jeff in Dallas who would eventually become Jumpy Jeff, making one of the strangest calls in Mothership history. Jeff is in Dallas. He's on 105.3 The Fan. What's going on, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm just got a... Just heard about the upcoming documentary, One Puffy Moment, which represents me.
Oh.
Now, the lead, and I've been coaching a team that was doing real good until I faulted off because of all, everything that was going on. I thought it was actually happening. And, you know, I'm kind of in a place of embarrassment here, you know.
Wow, I got to tell you, I have no idea what you're talking about. Are you saying you coach a team somewhere in Dallas?
I've been competing in this tournament.
Compete in what tournament?
Well, you know, it's like a nationwide, you know, they're posting nationwide all over Facebook.
Now, are you talking about being puffy, like being a chubbo, or are you talking about our bracket challenge or running a 40-yard dash? Which one of these?
I have no idea why they come up with that title.
One Puffy Moment.
Yeah.
That's actually the name of our wing eating challenge, which then became the title of our documentary about the wing eating challenge.
Uh-huh.
Did you say you coached something?
Everybody was in this competition, okay? It was like a scavenger hunt for certain types of things, okay? And whoever got the most won it during each game, while each game was going on. We had that time limit to complete the task.
Now, did you just wake up and maybe this was all a dream? Maybe you still think you're sleeping?
No, this is no dream, sir. This is no dream.
Because this might be the single most incoherent call I've ever taken. I have no idea what you're talking about. With all due respect, of course.
All of America has been watching this. Been on the RCL all show, all over the nation, okay? They've been broadcasting my image on national television, okay?
Your image has been on national TV.
They talked about me. They were looking at me while I was going on, while I'm sitting here in my room.
Well, I'll tell you, I think we've hit a bit of a roadblock here in this conversation. So anyway, Jeff, you know what? Feel free to call back anytime, but probably best idea is just to get some sleep right now.
Well, the best idea, I think, would be for me to contact my lawyer.
Yeah, definitely call your lawyer, and you can have your lawyers contact us, okay? So anyway... You just witnessed DA show history, the single most incoherent call I've ever received in nearly 15 years of doing this. I still don't know what he's talking about, but at this point, I'll just blame it on Mraz. Mraz, why did you not give this guy the official rules to our scavenger hunt at the Texas Motor Speedway?
Well, that doesn't even explain it all. When I asked where he was calling from, he gave me his full address.
That was 6 years ago today, this date in 2014. I still don't know what Jumpy Jeff was calling about. A scavenger hunt, Texas Motor Speedway, his image on national TV. We still don't know what his beef was there.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back to 2014 episodes of the Arsenio Hall show now to try to connect the dots and see why his image was used and what the heck the scavenger hunt was about. That was all over the place. I can't believe Connor dug that up. That's a classic moment.
It's the ultimate classic. We called that guy Jumpy Jeff, and I wonder, do you think he was inebriated and that's why he just didn't know what was going on, or was he just confused because something had happened on local radio and he thought we were local in Dallas and he had partaken in some local community thing?
Well, I think the easy answer is both, because that seemed to happen a lot on the overnight show. Listeners didn't know they were calling into national radio while listening to local all day, and they happened to be hammered as well because they were up at 3 in the morning. So I think the answer is both.
I still, 6 years later, have no idea what Jumpy Jeff was trying to allude to. My best guess is there was some type of radio promotion that they were doing locally at the Texas Motor Speedway that he partook in.
And then thought that our one puffy moment was the same thing?
That I don't know how he would have confused, but where it came, like, his lawyers needed to be involved because his image and likeness was being used. I mean, that part of it seems a little crazy. And how that connected, yes, as you said, to one puffy moment. What struck him about one puffy moment, which was us eating wings and then doing a 40-yard dash? Did he say, oh, that's the competition I was involved in? I mean, all of it made my head hurt. What a good one from the archives. When we come back here on the show, Matt Doherty is going to join us from the 1982 National Championship North Carolina Tar Heels. It's the Madness of March next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.